Good morning. It is 9:09 and a pleasant 68. I'm Larry Long and welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist and Garden Center at the corner of Milliman 12th Street. And now here's your host, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Larry. It is pleasant. It's a very nice day.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, a little cooler and maybe good working weather. Maybe good festival weather. I think there's a couple festivals out there today,
yes,
too,
there
over in South Haven. And I think there's one in Three Rivers mm-hmm. tonight, too. So, and good morning, everybody. And maybe, Larry, we could dig in.
Sure.
I got dirty fingernails, but we can have everybody get them a little
deep. We would expect nothing less.
So, hey, everybody, let's get our fingernails dirty, grab that cup of coffee. And, Larry, I think today we're going to need a set of pruners.
All right.
So,
got them.
Got him. And I think Larry needs some pruning help with his poison ivy later.
No.
So, well, good morning, everybody. And I thank you for joining us for another edition of Over the Garden Fence. Today, as I walked the landscaping at the house, and I just wanted to talk about the highlights at the home in the yard and in the landscaping this week. And I'll tell you, the highlights by far are the purple pendula weeping beech. I have a purple pendula. It's about 6 or 8 years old that we put in our landscaping. And just striking purple burgundy foliage cascading down. It is not the purple fountain. It's the little short one. So it stays, it's about 6 foot or less. Bright burgundy purple foliage cascading right over the white foliage of the Patriot Hosta. Stuck right next to the Japanese iris. And with our magic carpets in full swing, our magic carpet spireas with a yellow and red foliage and the bright pink flowers coming on strong. Out in the garden, I noticed the potatoes are going strong also at least 18 inches. George commented a couple weeks ago that his were probably a good foot or 18 inches. And I said, man, ours is only 2 or 3 inches. We just got them in. Well, boy, a little moisture, a little good weather, and boo, up they come. The broccoli, the lettuce, and the cauliflower just look great. And they look like they're very happy in their very brand new raised gardens that we put in again this year. And the strawberries, I ate the first berries on the other night. So yum. Today, why don't you give me a call? Tell me what is your highlights in your yard, in your garden, in your landscaping, in the grounds, in the surrounding neighborhood, or just your Sunday drive that you noticed this week. Let us know. Let me see what you thought. So I'll tell you, this week, as I did the walk around the garden, around the yard, and even out in the nursery at Waddell's, with beautiful temperatures that we've been having and the moisture we've been getting, the plants in the yard need some major pruning. They're liking this spring. It's like a haircut. It just grew and grew, and now it's time to prune. Almost everything has got overabundance of growth, and a lot of things are showing up from the damage from last year's drought. A lot of people have questions on pruning. It's a big area. Questions on when, how much, how often. So let's get some pointers on the different areas of pruning. Number one, flowering plants. That's probably the one of the most common questions. Early spring flowering plants. Prune after flower. This is number one. So spring flowering plants, prune after flower for just the normal trimming. So like a 10 to 20, 10 to 30% off the plant. Things like lilac, white spirea, quince, azaleas, things like that could be just light pruning just to clean them up. If you prune in the early spring, you'll prune off all the flower. Number two, summer flowering plants. Prune in early spring. So that means things like pink spirea, rose of Sharon, woody forms of hydrangeas all bloom in the summer. So they don't set their flowers till the spring comes on. So you wouldn't be trimming off any flowers like lilac if you did in the early spring. So I'm thinking early spring, like the 3rd to 4th week in May. Plants are coming out of their dormancy. We are past their frost. And it's an ideal time to do a hard prune, cleaning up the plants from last year. Let's go into hard prune. Number three, hard prune on all plants And I call that an aggressive prune. And we're still talking about deciduous shrubs. So the early spring bloomers, things like lilac, white spirea, and quince, etc., dogwood shrubs. Hard prune, second to fourth week in June. And the summer bloomers, third to fourth week in May. And you ask why? Plants that are hard prune for early spring bloomers need to have the energy into the plant and let them bloom first. The vigor comes out of the plant, and there will be more rejuvenation if it's pruned hard about the 15th of June to the 30th of June. You'll see a rejuvenation of the plant. Plant will actually come back up. I've seen lilacs that are 10 or 12 feet pruned back down to 4 feet, and literally there is stumps sticking out of the ground. I've seen that 12-foot plant cut to the ground, removing all the stumps, cleaning up that plant. Yes, the plant will not flower for the next couple years, but then you've cleaned that plant up to a point where you've gotten rid of all the woody portion. The flower at the top was the only spot that the lilac was blooming anyways, so now you've controlled that plant. You've brought it down to size. Hard prunes on early spring, second to fourth week in June. Now, summer bloomers, why I said the third to fourth week in May, because they bloom on summer's wood. So there's actually been a study done on hibiscus, which is Rose of Sharon. There is woody form of hibiscus, which is the Rose of Sharon, perennial form of the hibiscus, and then the tropical form. Now, they've taken Rose of Sharon and cut it to the ground. Literally, no wood left except a couple, 2 or 3 inches. Because Rose of Sharon only flowers on summer wood, you can only imagine how fast that Rose of Sharon would grow, leaving that volume of roots left in the ground. Cutting that back hard pushes out all kinds of new spring growth, followed by plenty of flower. That's how you see good shrubs of Rose of Sharon and not big, tall, woody ones that only the tops are in flower. On a hard prune, I would like you to make sure to give a good amount of water. Water, 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 I say all the time. You got to make sure that you can support the new shoots or the new sprouts that come out of the plant once the new growth emerges in June or early July when the new growth starts appearing when it gets hot. Number 5, rhododendron and azaleas. I'd like you to snap off the flowers now. Any rhododendron that is past bloom time, the pistil and stamen are still on the flower itself, on the stem. And you want to take that and put the whole old flower bud right in your hands, and it'll snap or break right off, almost like an apple or a peach tree or a peach on a tree. It'll just snap right off and break it right off. And that'll get rid of all those old flower buds. But if you look at a rhododendron close, you'll notice that the nodes down below, or the little bud unions, are all down that stem. They won't grow unless you prune. So if you prune hard on a rhododendron, again, later on, second to fourth week in June, right after the flower, you prune hard, you cut back, do it in layers. I would probably do about half the rhododendron 1 year and half the rhododendron the other year, selectively pruning in there, cleaning it up. Believe it or not, one cut will actually reap 2 or 3 new branches. Number 6, pruning on hydrangeas. That's one of the biggest areas that we have some of the issues with. Woody forms of hydrangeas. So PG, Pink Diamond, Quick Fire, those are all third to fourth week in May. Again, those are summer blooming hydrangeas, meaning they bloom on spring wood, meaning you can prune them very hard, encouraging new growth, and from that point, good flower. Compared to the macrophylla hydrangeas or the big-leafed hydrangeas, they need to have their flowers and their stems left alone until they are coming out of dormancy in the spring. Prune back only the dead wood, leaving the majority of the plant. And just talking to a customer yesterday, she's like, yay, I finally got hydrangea flowers because we mulched them, like you said, last year. Mulching the plant will surely help those buds overwinter on those stems. Number 7, clematis. We have a whole show just on clematis and hydrangeas. But clematis, put it easy, figure there's 2 types of plants. If you don't know yours, and figure there's spring bloomers and summer bloomers. A lot of people say, well, my clematis blooms a good part of the year. I couldn't tell. So do this way. Go down to the plant in the early spring. Now, the clematis is all in leaf out, so this probably is not a good time to prune this clematis, but count the three best stems. On these three stems, count six sets of buds. Count them right up the stem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. At that sixth set of buds, go ahead and prune. That way you know you've left the three best stems and six sets of buds on it, and that'll give you plenty of flower. Whether there is a spring flower or a summer flowering variety, this will still give you plenty of oomph in that plant. Vines, just like under clematis, number 8. Vines, I like to say, you can prune anytime, anywhere that we are not expecting frost for a month. The idea or the concept is when there is vines that are pruned in the early spring or in the late fall, guess what a vine does? Keeps growing. So the vines grow and the new shoots go through the winter, and that's how a vine gets winter kill. So that's just one area that you really want to be careful with. So when we come back, we got ornamental trees, shade trees, evergreens, and we want to go over wounds. Larry, there's a lot of storm damage that we can go over on how to clean up those wounds in the trees and the plants.
Very good, Andy. And if you'd like to be part of the show, we'd love to have you give us a call to 382-4280 or toll-free 877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence on 590 WKZO. We'll be right back.
The lawn pros at Waddell's have seen many people bringing in samples of their lawn problems. To assure a healthy lawn during the unusual weather we're having, be sure to apply Scott's Lawn Fungus Control for diseases and GrubX for grub control. Scott's Lawn Fungus Control prevents and controls summer lawn diseases like dollar spot, red thread, ground spot, and more. Apply it now to prevent lawn diseases later this summer. Now is also the time to apply GrubX to your lawn to prevent it from being destroyed by an invasion of grubs. GrubX is the quickest, easiest way to prevent invasions of grubs and keep your lawn looking its best. Get your GrubX at Waddell's now and be sure to pick up a mail-in rebate slip to get $5 back on each bag. It's time to put Scott's Lawn Fungus Control and GrubX on your lawn before damage shows up and forget about lawn diseases and grubs. If you're not sure what your lawn needs, bring in a sod sample for Waddell's lawn doctors to diagnose and give you a prescription so you'll be sure to put on the right product the first time. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, greeting Southwest Michigan for 67 years on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
And we are back. Good morning. It is 9:21. You're listening to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert, Andy Waddell. Once again, good morning, Andy.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. And I know there's a lot of pruning, and I just went through a whole bunch of ideas at the same time. But a lot of that is very confusing. A lot of times people will prune, and I'm only making an example of somebody they love, but we went over to a graduation party last week, Larry, and plants all look really nice, right. All been trimmed up. You know, I want to make sure that grandmas and grandpas, everything looks good. But Larry, they pruned off all the flowers.
Oh, no.
Everything had been meatballed. So all the summer blooming items were all trimmed.
Oh,
all
no.
The flowers were cut off. Well, that's what the sister-in-law wanted to make sure that the husband did, just to make sure everything looked nice. But meanwhile, all the summer flowers were cut off on all the Rose of Sharon, all the Pink Spirea.
Oh,
so
no.
That's why we just want to make a few helpful suggestions. So if you want, we can go to the phone.
We can do that. We have Norma in Mattawan on the line. Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Norma, how is it going?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you.
Good.
I have a question.
Please.
About hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
They're growing, the bush itself is, we have about 6 of them, and they're growing very nicely. But in between all the leaves, there are these bare sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you take those, we prune those off, or why are they there? And are they left over from last year?
Yep. Norma, I want to ask a question first. If you see this hydrangea flower, what color is it?
I think they're blue.
Okay. That's okay. That's either Nico Blue, Golden Glory, Old Glory, Endless Summer, one of those. Now, normal.
About the size of maybe like a bushel basket.
Oh, yeah. Probably Endless Summer. Okay. Norma, it is normal that we got to figure that hydrangea is perennial hydrangea or your big leaf hydrangeas, meaning the roots are going to be totally hardy, Norma, but because they are perennial form. They die back into the ground into the winter. Their new shoots come up, and that's what you're seeing that old wood on. Now, we suggest that we were just talking about a few minutes ago to leave that old wood on until right about now, even a couple weeks ago. You can tell, Norma, that now that those dead stecks, they're not going to leaf out. That's a perfect time to prune, clean them off.
Okay.
It's when somebody goes in there in April, Norma, and then cuts it all back and says, the half this stuff is dead. And guess what? It wasn't. And meanwhile, you've pruned off all the flower. Big leaf hydrangeas set their flowers in the fall. So you want to make sure and not trim any wood. You start cutting. You can tell right away, Norma, if there is green wood or if it's dead wood. If it's snapped right now, it's dead wood. Clean those all out. You'll rejuvenate the plant a lot better.
Okay. All righty. Well, that settles it.
Okay.
And thank you.
You bet. Good luck on that, Norma.
All right. Thank you for the call, Norma. Now we have Kathy in Portage. Good morning, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Good morning. First, I wanted to comment on, you asked at the beginning of the show, I don't know if it's just my yard or what, but my flowers are doing brilliant this year. My roses, my peonies, which have all, of course, faded away now, but bleeding hearts, everything was just spectacular this year, and I'm not sure why, but
The peonies were stunning this year.
Absolutely.
They were. We picked some, and they didn't have many ants this year. We brought a few inside the house this year. They were very nice.
Yeah, same with me. And the fragrance, oh, my gosh, Andy, it was just wonderful.
That's nice. Thank you. Thanks for commenting.
But I do have two questions.
Please.
And actually, one of them is in regards to the peonies. They did really well, but I noticed there's almost like some side shoots growing out away from them. Can I dig those out and replant them to space it out a little bit?
You probably can. And I wouldn't necessarily suggest, you know, digging them up normally. But Kathy, if there's side shoots, you know there's probably roots that'll follow. And if it's not disturbing the major part of the plant, go ahead. You know, the flower's pretty much spent anyways, and peonies and poppies and iris are the first things that we move anyways. So those peonies, probably if you lifted it and, you know, transplant, especially in this cool weather, I think it'd do fine.
Oh, okay. So that's something I could do right now?
Sure.
If you had
to, you don't have to do it today, but, you know, you wanted to wait a couple weeks, they could wilt back a little bit. You could probably do it then. Or if you're moving it today, just trim a little of the top off. It'll flush right back out.
Okay, great. And my second question is, and I don't know if this is something you could do over the phone, is to help me a little bit with a plant identification. I'm cleaning out an area back along my back fence where I have just massive amounts of lilacs growing. There is a vine growing amongst them that has real dark green leaves with yellow, almost like a yellow center going up the vein of the plant.
Okay.
And do you know what that might be?
Are the leaves oblong or are they rounded?
They're oblong.
Okay. By chance, might be guessing that you might have gotten bittersweet in there, maybe from a bird. I am not 100% positive, but bittersweet grows very easy. It does have a stem on the leaf sometimes that will show up as a lighter vein. It does have a very dark green glossy foliage, unlike a honeysuckle, which is a little bit lighter. It's kind of more limey green. The leaves on a honeysuckle are maybe 1 to 2 inch. The bittersweet is probably a 2 to 3 inch long, probably a 3 inch long leaf with maybe 1.5 inch wide.
Okay.
Probably won't have fruit on it because you probably don't have the male and the female there, is my guess. That's the way you probably can't identify. You didn't see any fruit on it, did you?
No, not at all.
No.
And the leaves aren't nearly that big. They're probably no bigger than 1 inch.
Okay. It might be, just be like wild morning glories. That don't necessarily flower, but you know, a lot of times it can just be a nuisance vine or nuisance weed. Now,
But it sure is pretty. That's why I wondered if I bring it in. Do you think someone could identify?
Oh my, yes.
Okay,
no problem.
Great.
No,
I'll do that then.
Stop in. We'll take a look, Kathy.
Okay, great, Andy. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for the comments on the garden.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Larry, you got a garden?
No, not really. I was never blessed with a green thumb like my dad had.
But you're growing poison ivy, I heard.
Oh,
good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Unassisted, yes.
Larry, we'll go back into the pruning a second, but sure. One of my callers yesterday was a lady that was so flustered with poison ivy that she'd already been to the hospital 3 and 4 times with steroid shots.
Oh.
She has 4 dogs, so they all run, go out, and you can't train a dog not to go in this
not
part
really,
of the woods.
No.
And so they all come back in, the oils are on their coat, and she gets it all over again. So there is a Roundup, Larry, that is not just Roundup. It is for only white item, poison ivy.
Oh, okay.
And it'll take care of that. You might have to do a couple applications, but hit it on a nice, cool day that you're not getting rain. Should be able to something that can control.
Okay.
Obviously, Larry, there's probably poison ivy in your neighborhood that is mature, that has white seeds on it that the birds eat and then land in your yard and do the droppings, and Larry gets more poison ivy. So kind of a pain, but
yeah, it is. It's rampant now. Like I said, we've been there almost 20 years, and it's just been within the last couple that it's just gone crazy.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're talking about vines, and maybe Kathy can bring in her vine sample, and I'd like to go over some pruning, continuing on our pruning day.
All right, Andy, and if you have a question for Andy this morning, let us hear from you, 382-4280, or toll-free 877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence. We'll be right back.
Father's Day is tomorrow, and Waddell says just what Dad's been wanting. Dad loves shade in his outdoor living area, and Waddell's is famous for the super hardy locally grown shade trees that would make the perfect gift. Now, when you buy a shade tree, you'll get a $15 to $50 Waddell's gift card for yourself. Choose a huge 12-foot Cleveland Select pear tree, a mid-sized tri-color beech tree, or a small Japanese maple tree. Another favorite for Dad is fire. Waddell's has several fire pit styles to choose from, and this week, when you buy a fire bowl, you'll get a $25 Waddell's gift card. If you buy an Atlas Block fire pit kit, you'll get a $50 gift card. Or if you get the cushioned furniture set with a table that converts into a fire pit, you'll get a $200 gift card to spend on any future Waddell's purchase. Want more ideas? How about a rose bush? They're $3 off this week. All raindrip irrigation kits are on sale too. Maybe he'd like a traveling sprinkler, a pole tree trimmer, or if you can't decide, a Waddell's gift certificate will let Dad pick out the color, size, and variety he likes best. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman and 12th Street.
It is 9:31 and a pleasant 69 outside, and let's go back to the phone lines. We have Grace in Portage. Good morning, Grace. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have an azalea that is about 4 feet tall. It did bloom this year, but it only has growth on the top about 8 inches, and I don't know if I should cut it all off down to the ground. Should I move it? It's behind a Japanese maple. I'm thinking perhaps it doesn't get enough light, and I'm just wondering what I should do. If I cut any, it's only the very top that has growth.
Mm-hmm. Now, Grace, probably at one time the Japanese maple was smaller and probably the azalea was flowering.
Correct.
Yeah, so as things get bigger. Now, Grace, it might sound like a good idea to do a move on that or to do a prune, a hard prune on azalea. You probably couldn't take that one to the ground, but I bet you could take half off if you look again at the little nodes or the little bumps along those stems. If you can try to keep some of the foliage, the concept is with a hard prune to leave some leaves. Photosynthesis have to occur for the plant to rejuvenate, so leaving a little few sets of leaves on there is fairly important. Look down your stems, and you can see kind of where there's joints or branches or where they meet. Go ahead and prune there. And what I always say, Grace, you can always prune more. It's really hard to put it back on. So, prune, take a look at it, stand back, kind of evaluate, I'll trim a little more, cut it here and there, and that way you know you're maybe shaping that plant, leaving some foliage on at the same time a little bit. And I said on rhododendron and azalea, you can almost be a little selective. And I said half of it, you don't have to cut one half and do the other half the next year, but you could kind of trim 50% of the plant in amongst the plant itself. Okay. Then when you did your prune, because it's struggling, I don't always suggest a summer move, but because the plant is under stress, because it's in the shady or the situation, prune and move the same day. The concept is if you move it, it's going to wilt. So you might as well get your plant underway, lift the plant up, do the trimming at the same time. That way the wilt doesn't occur because you just trimmed it off. And then reset the plant in with a root starter. Mycorrhiza does not help with azaleas, but a root starter, it's a vitamin B12, would make that plant, because azaleas are all fibrous root. There's no taproot to them. They should move fairly easy.
Great.
Okay, right. Grace, azaleas love good drainage. Pine straw, we sell bales of pine straw, cocoa mulch, make a fake environment. They don't like real heavy ground, and they don't like a lot of, you know, real heavy winds. So maybe where it's growing now, just make sure to kind of, you know, put it back in the same environment or close to it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Good luck on the azalea.
Thank you. Bye.
You bet, Grace. Well, Larry, I don't want to prune your poison ivy, but
no,
I just kid you. We ended with vines,
right?
And let's go into ornamental trees. I know on the pruning, I've opened up a lot of questions in everybody's mind. Ornamental trees, crab apples, hawthorn, cherry, a lot of those we like to say prune after flower, enjoy the flower itself, okay? And number two, the plant's vigor is coming on after flower also. So really, if a plant flowers in early April or early May, you know, an early June prune time is perfect on them. Weeping cherries are grafted. A customer the other day had a grafted weeping cherry, and they said it had gone crazy, and the top shot straight up out of the plant. So there was a 8 or 10 foot of growth coming out of the top of the weeping cherry. Well, really, it didn't. The grafted portion took off. And so we suggested hurry up and cut that top out so you can encourage the growth on the weeping portion of the tree. Sucker stopper, or what happens on a crab apple is a lot of times the plant is grafted and shoots come all out of the ground. And then somebody comes through and trims them or weed whips them. Next week, the sprouts come back. They grow like little weeds, and each week you trim them off. Meanwhile, the roots of that little water sprout or the sucker keeps growing and growing and growing. Pretty soon, you can't pull it out anymore. It's grown to a point where it's gotten too big. You can't pull it out by hand. So we suggest either A, digging that up and tearing it off at the point of origin at the root, or there's a product called Sucker Stopper. You have to apply it properly, but don't apply it to the stem of the plant. Just apply it onto those sprouts that are coming up, and it'll actually kill the suckers or the water sprouts from coming up, yet not hurt the tree. So with ornamental trees, that's what we're suggesting. A dormant prune is fine. You can do that in late fall once the plant has gone into dormancy and dropped its leaves, or you can do it in late winter, in March sometime. So 10, that was number 9, ornamental trees. Number 10, shade trees. Best time is after the flush of the new growth. Now, that sounds crazy. How would I see the tree? But for the plant itself, when the maple, when the maple and the ash is fully leafed out, it's actually going to get a rejuvenation, just like a haircut. If you did a little summer or late spring, early summer prune, you'll get a secondary flush of growth out of the tree. But we suggest no oak. And I accidentally said oak a few minutes ago, but oak, you can get sudden oak wilt, and there's other diseases that are coming into oak. We are suggesting and recommending do not prune oak no matter what until late winter when the plant has fully dropped its leaves. We are suggesting late December, January, and February for oaks only. Evergreen shrubs, 15th of June, 1st of July. Never prune in the fall. I used to have a guy that we lived in the town I lived in for years, and he'd prune those yews every November, every late October. And I'll tell you what, every spring those yews were burnt red or rust. It's because the plant can't harden off. You put on a new shoot, and then it's like giving me a haircut in December and sending me out with a hat. It's really hard on the tree. So the same thing. Go ahead and prune so you know the plant will callus off. Number two, 15th of June to 1st of July, the plant will have a chance to actually put out even a secondary flush of growth if you prune at the timing. That is right. Evergreen trees, spruce, pine, fir, don't prune more than half the new candles. The new shoots emerge. The new sprouts come up, they form a candle, and then they turn into needles. And what happens is if you prune all that wood off, pine, spruce, and fir will never regrow on that tip. They'll always grow from the edges. So now you've taken that plant that is pushing out nice new growth, and you've stopped it because you cut all the candle off. So as the candle emerges, prune about half the new wood. So that kind of goes through ornamental trees, shade trees, a few evergreen shrubs, and a few evergreen trees. Now, Larry, maybe when we come back, I got a lot of storm damage. I drove by, I don't think there was tornadoes. I don't know. Somebody could tell me different the other night, but a lot of downdrafts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I drove by all kinds of trees that were shredded this morning. So I'd like to go through how to prune and clean up on the wounds next.
All right. Thank you. And if you have a question this morning, 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. We'll be right back.
If you want to have the best looking, well-watered plants in town, come to Waddell's Garden Center for a rain drip watering system. Drip watering is the easiest way to provide just the right amount of water for your container planters, trees, shrubs, evergreens, flower beds, and vegetable gardens. Rain drip watering systems can save up to 70% of the water and expense of traditional hose end watering, and they're easy to install. Just hook up to your water outlet and enjoy a lush landscape, bountiful garden, and vibrant flowers drip by drip. There's even fertilizer pellets to put in your rain drip system to take care of your plant's water and fertilizing needs at one time. You can even put the rain drip system on a timer, so the only time you need to think about your plants is when you're enjoying how beautiful they are. Start now by saving $4 on the container drip kit that makes watering hanging planters and patio pots easy, $6 on the landscape kit that waters up to 10 trees or 30 smaller plants, and save $7 on the drip sprinkler kit that works great for ground cover and perennial plantings. Come visit with the professionals at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
At 9:40, we are back with your host, Andy Waddell, and this is Over the Garden Fence.
Hey, thanks, Larry. I talked about some of the wounds and some of the tree damage that we had the other night, and you know, the last couple of years has been all kinds of damage in some of our neighboring forests and woods lines. Just driving by a nice big maple this morning. Somebody had to come in and clean it up with a chainsaw, and it's sitting all alongside the road. Big wound right in the side of the tree. A couple years ago, Larry, we lost a whole bunch of trees in our yard.
Mm-hmm.
Midwest Energy comes by, butchers the trees, and that's what I get. So the wounds, if they're large, I know we got a couple callers here. If they're large and they're fresh, take a wire brush and a screwdriver, clean that wound up. Make sure there's no old decaying wood. Tree wound dressing is what I apply, not any paint. Get a seal on that, just like a good Band-Aid. On a big cavity, do not apply cement. And a lot of times people will put something to fill the cavity. Figure what cement does. It draws moisture, and it'll just make more rot for the outside edges. So when you are filling that wound, use the tree wound compound. It's like a big Band-Aid. So if you want, we got a couple callers, Gary.
Let's go back to the phones. And good morning, Gary. You're on the air.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can I be helpful over in Cooper?
I do have a question about storm damage. I've got about a 70-foot pine tree,
mm-hmm.
and the top, I would say, a good 8 to 10 feet of it broke out. And we've considered taking it down and just wondering if you know, if it would be wise to, because of the damage done to it.
Yeah. Well, Gary, that's, I guess, I'm going to go back one second. I used to have a big silver maple in my yard in Fulton. Man, I didn't want that silver maple, but you know what? It was the only tree I had. So you got to evaluate, Gary, is that tree doing a benefit with the 10 feet out of the top still? Can I look? And obviously you'd need a tree service if you were going to clean the top up. Did it fall out or is it hanging still?
Well, it's hanging up there.
Yeah. So there's even more of an issue if it falls. That would be a detriment to whoever's below it. So that's the issue that you have to do. Now, I could give you off air. I have somebody that does landscape appraisal, and they just come out and evaluate, and maybe that's something you need to do and look at. But you got to figure down the road, if you got that top out and do a good hard feeding, maybe that tree would revive, and you'd have the whole thing rejuvenated.
Okay.
Gary, at the same time, pines are soft wood. You get a good ice storm or a good wind damage, whether it be a white pine possibly is what you have.
Yeah, it's
big, it's soft needle.
No, it's actually short needle.
Sharp.
So I think it might be a Douglas. It's a real short needle.
Okay. Okay. Well, even Douglas.
There's a whole line of them pretty close to the house, and they're all about 70 foot tall. And it's been damaged. It had some prior damage up there a couple of years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago. And so I'm suspecting that maybe. It's got some rot up in there. So
yeah. So yeah. My next two things, Larry, Gary got to finish up, but feed the tree hard if you want to keep the tree, and if you want to stay in the air, I can give you a landscape appraisal service that would come out and do an evaluation for you for sure.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for the great calls today. This has been Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. Join us again next Saturday at 9 a.m. Waddell's is located at the corner of Middleman 12th Street. Coming up next, CBS and local news and your financial planner with Ron Weiser coming up next.